Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Our focus this morning will be on verse 15 of this psalm, but let's read the whole of the psalm beginning in verse 1. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called out on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted, and in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vow to the Lord in the presence of all His people. This is our verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to You and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vow to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in Your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. This Father reading of God's holy and infallible word. We're going to meditate this morning on verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The Bible is emphatic that death is our enemy. Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 15, our last enemy that will be destroyed when Christ returns. We see its destruction when it is thrown in the lake of fire with Hades in Revelation 20. But until that day, death is our enemy. And that's why we experience it as devastating. It's ruin. It is the ripping apart of the fiber of our lives. And that's why it is so painful. It confronts us with the awful reality that something is wrong. Very wrong. Because this is not what's supposed to be. It's not part of the world God created. It is part of the curse that has entered this world. It's not supposed to be. And that's why it weighs so heavy upon our hearts. It is the result of our sin. Sin has brought death. As Paul says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. And that's why this verse is so strange and yet so beautiful. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Death, curse, judgment, precious to God. How can that be? How is it possible that in God's sight, that which is not supposed to be part of His world is now all of a sudden precious to Him? Now, it's not every death that's precious to God. It's very specific here, isn't it? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. His. That's the word that needs to be circled there. Saints are holy ones. We do not make ourselves acceptable to God, holy ones. He's not saying precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of saints. His saints. Which means they are saints because of His doing. He is the cause of their sainthood. It is the work of God as Savior that makes them saints. In ourselves, we're all under curse, under judgment, sinners. All. So how does a sinner become a saint? When God comes and rescues that sinner, breaking the hold of sin and set them free. Yahweh. That's the name that the psalmist uses here for God. His personal name. The name that God has given to Moses. As God reveals Himself as the Savior from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, bringing them out, binding them to Himself, the very picture of what He would do emphatically, definitively in Jesus Christ, Yahweh. It is in Christ, through Christ, that sinners become saints. It is in Christ's work. The condemnation of God that came upon Him who was perfect, who never sinned, who never deserved any judgment, any curse, any death, and yet He died. Why? Because He takes our place. Because He takes our place, we take His place. And now we are no longer sinners, but we are saints, holy ones, clothed in the perfect righteous robes of Christ, acceptable to God. And it's these holy ones, resting in the merits of Jesus Christ, their death is precious to God. Are you resting in Jesus Christ this morning? Do you acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? And have you run to Him? Have you clothed yourself in His righteousness? And have you seen your judgment, your condemnation, your sin punished in Him? Is that your hope? If it's not your hope this morning, I plead with you, run to Him. Run to Christ. Anchor your hope in Him alone, because only in Him is death precious in the sight of God. Outside of Christ, there is judgment and condemnation, but in Christ, this verse applies to all. Now, I want to ask two questions. What comfort can we draw at this very moment in the fact that death is precious? The death of His saints is precious in the sight of God. That's the first question. The second question is, why is the death of His saints precious in the sight of God? What comfort can we draw, first of all? There's three things I want us to notice. The first thing comes from the context that we have in the psalm. The psalmist begins and we hear that he's in trouble and he cries out to the Lord. And the trouble is of such an intensity that he feels himself being drawn into death itself. The cords of death entangle me. The anguish of the grave have come upon me. It's as though he is sinking down into death itself. And in that anguish, God comes and rescues him. And he is indeed not given over to death. He is delivered by God. And it's in that light that he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What he means is this, that no one will die before His work is complete. That before our work is complete, we are immortal. We cannot die until we have accomplished all that God has determined for us. No one will die too soon. We will die exactly at the moment when our work is complete. Ephesians 2 verse 10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I have illustrated this in the past as a room filled with good works that God has prepared for each of us. And our name is on the door of that room, and we get to open it, and we need to do everything in there. And until the room is empty, we will not die. We will not die prematurely. We will die at the exact moment that God has determined. So that's the first thing, the first comfort we can draw. But the second comfort we can draw is this. The fact that death is precious in the sight of the Lord, His saints' death, means that God Himself takes special care in the circumstances of our death. Nothing is left up to happenstance. God does not take a break and just see it happen. No. The fact that He has promised us that all things will be worked for our good means that up until the very end of our life, everything has been perfectly planned and purposed. Specifically, uniquely, for our good. And you have many moving testimonies if you talk to God's saints. I visited with Ken Friday morning after the Lord called Arlene home. Ken woke up early Friday morning and he went to the hospital. And he read various scripture passages to comfort him and Arlene. And then he stood by the bed and held her hand, and her breathing was labored, and he prayed. And when he said amen, he stood there for a moment, and then he realized he doesn't hear her breathe. And during his prayer, for God to deliver, for God to save, for God to bring her home, God answered that prayer. The timing and the circumstances around our death are perfectly purposed by God in His tender mercy for His saints. Spurgeon says, "The Lord watches over the dying beds and smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, and receive their souls." What comfort. But thirdly, not only does God determine the timing perfectly, to give us the exact circumstances, shaping it for our good, but our death is precious in the sight of the Lord, and He extends special mercy and grace to His dying children. The deathbed can be trying. It can be a place of severe self-doubt. And yet, God comes in His powerful grace to minister to the hearts of His saints, because the death is precious. He will not abandon them in the moment of their greatest agony and struggle. He sustains and comforts and assures them and draws them and points them to Jesus Christ. One of the older saints that I ministered to in Sanborn had a lot of questions at the end of his life. Because as he had lots of time to reflect upon his life, he saw his sin in greater clarity than before. And I remember once as I ministered to him in the hospital, I spoke to him about the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. "For God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." And I pointed him to the fact that Christ became sin for us. That all of the sin that burdens his conscience, that weighs upon his heart, was punished in Christ. And the righteousness we need to stand before God, to make us acceptable to God, is in Christ now given to us. And it set his heart at peace. Because God came in that moment to give His Son the comfort He needs. And not long after that, He passed away, being comforted in the righteousness of Christ. The death of His saints is precious in the sight of God. He sustains them with His grace to the end. Now, why exactly is it precious? And here I'm going to highlight three things. There's many more, but these, I think, at least should be said. The death of the saints is precious because in their death, God is glorified. And you've heard the stories, you've seen God's children die. And there is the most wonderful certainty and testimony of their full surrender to the Lord in those moments, isn't it? There is a purity of faith that shines out. They want nothing more than to be with Christ. They cannot wait. They long, they desire, they yearn for that reality. God brings them to a place where they testify to all who hear of the glory and wonder and satisfaction of God Himself. That brings Him glory. The doctor who worked in the Nazi prison camp where Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned testifies how Bonhoeffer, as he walked to face the gallows, being sentenced to death, one of the last to die under the Nazi regime. This is what he says. Through a half-open door in one room of the hut, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devoutly, so certain that God heard his prayer. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the steps to the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued after a few seconds. In almost 50 years that I've worked as a doctor, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. In his death, he magnifies and glorifies God. And we can go on. I was thinking this morning of one of the first martyrs of the early church, Polycarp, who was an old man of 86, dragged before the Roman circus, threatened, told to recant Christ. And he said, for 86 years, Christ has never, and I'm paraphrasing, abandoned me, harmed me. How can I now deny my Savior who has loved me so? God is glorified. That's why the death of his saints is precious. But secondly, the death of his saints is precious because it is the end of sin. And we have to follow this process a little bit. As the Catechism reminds us that the death of the saints is not punishment to sin, but it's the end of their sin, the end of their struggle. It's the end of the guilt and burden that they carry, of their failure, of their struggle with God's purposes, wanting to love God more decisively, but failing on every turn. There it ends. But not only is sin end in death, the consequences of sin ends. The pain, the agony, the tears. It ends in death. and we are ushered into the very presence of God. Remember what Paul says in Philippians 1, that death is gain. Why? Because in death the believer goes to be with Christ. And as he says in 2 Corinthians 5, to be present in the body means I'm absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body means I'm present with the Lord. In death, the believer enters more fully into the glorification that God is working in them. They come home. One of the persons that visited while I was with Ken was the hospice nurse that helped Arlene. She testifies how Arlene testified to her that she wants to go home. Home is a beautiful thing, isn't it? But we're not home until we're with our Father. That's home. And that's why the death of the saint is precious. Because when sin ends, and the consequences of sin ends, and we enter God's presence, we're home. We're home. That's what we were made for. Fellowship with God. Being, living in His presence. Enjoying Him. Rejoicing in Him. Being satisfied in Him forever. And we are not there until we're with Him. That's why John Milton says death is the golden key that opens the palace of eternity. Brings us into God's presence. It's not darkness you will go into, for God is light. It is not lonely, for Christ is with you. It is not unknown country, for Christ is there. It is home. That's why death is precious. But finally, death is precious in the sight of God. We've hinted at that. Because in death, the victory of Jesus Christ is manifested more fully in the life of His saints. You see, we can put this verse in its New Testament context and it shines brightly. God gave Jesus to die for His saints. His death was the triumph and victory over their death. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' death is the triumph and victory over the death of His saints. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55. In other words, in the sufferings of Christ and in His death, He has attained victory over death for those who die in Him. And when we arrive in heaven in glory, pass through death, Jesus announces before the Father, before the angels, the glorious triumph of His work. And there He displays us. And John Piper envisions it something like this. He must take each of us by the hand, as it were, and lead the saints to His Father and say, "Look, another trophy, another fruit of my travail, another sinner saved and made perfect. Oh, Father, look at what we have done. Is it not precious? Christ displays the glory of His work in His saints. We don't see it here, but there it will be on full display. And that's why it's precious, because the Father can't wait to manifest to the world the glory of the triumph of His grace in Christ in the life of His saints. What a beautiful comfort we have. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. Lord, what a wonderful comfort. What a wonderful joy. Anchor our hearts in this hope, we pray. That we may, for ourselves and for our loved ones, sorrow as those who have this wonderful comfort from Your Word. Not in despair, but in joy. In Jesus' name. Amen.